That last verse, if you remember what it says, hope that lifts me from despair, love that casts out every fear, as I stand on every promise of your word. It is grace sufficient, grace for me, grace for all who will believe. We will stand on every promise of your word. I'd like for you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. The writer to the Hebrews, as he is writing to people who have looked at a way of life, as the Jews taught, that salvation is by works. So he is combating that thought because that's still a very common thought upon mankind today. Many people we talk to think they've got to do something or they've got to stop doing something to gain salvation. Sounds like a nursery stirred this morning. May we also be stirred by the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, down in verse 23, what we see, the writer has been writing by faith. By faith. Different ones, he's showing us that they lived and they walked by faith. They were saved by faith. They worshiped by faith. They worked by faith. They witnessed by faith. So the life of Moses, when you look at Moses' life, he would be regarded to Jews as the greatest man that ever lived. From a Jewish perspective. And you got to understand, he wrote the first five books of the law. He was the greatest prophet. He was the great lawgiver. He was the greatest saint in their mind. Some even elevated Moses up to the level of even above angels as far as Jews. He was the greatest deliverer. As he took the children out of Egypt through the wilderness toward the promised land. Moses is this example of a life of faith and not of works. The Word of God tells us very clearly. You are saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. If you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to give thanks unto God because He has given you the gift of eternal life. From a human viewpoint, when you think about it, from a divine viewpoint, as God's Word tells us, salvation is by grace through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God. It's God's gift to us. From a human viewpoint, we see it as decision or trusting or choosing to walk a certain way. It is God who initiates salvation. It is God who grants salvation through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it comes to a walk of faith, it comes to, from our perspective, like a choice in how to walk. Let me give you an example. And we bring it out tonight also in 2 Chronicles 29, in the life of Hezekiah. You have the choice to either walk with your face toward God, doing His will, or you have the choice of walking with your back toward God. Now you know this is true in our day and time. I have warned y'all over the past week concerning this coronavirus shutdown scares and everything else. And I'm not delegitimizing it by any means. But what I am saying for those who are not in service and not in the assembly of the saints, and that are not gathering with the saints of God, it's very easy to backslide. It is very easy for you to turn your back toward God and walk the way of the world and walk the way that your desires are leading you. God commands us to come together for a purpose. It's ultimately for the worship of Him, but let me tell you, it's for also the edification of the saints. We encourage one another. You encourage me in my walk of faith, and I pray to God that I encourage you in your walk of faith. Are you walking with your back toward God? Are you walking with your face toward God? Let me put it in other terms. Are you simply obeying God's will, or are you disobeying God's will? God's way or my way? I want us to look at one verse of Scripture this morning. Just because it's one verse of Scripture does not mean we're going to have prayer right after I read the verse of Scripture and go home. But I think this one verse of Scripture has a lot more depth to it than just surface reading it. The Word of God says in verse 23 in chapter 11, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." The word commandment could be edict or mandate or order. We read about faith in the life of Moses. There are 4 other instances that follow this by faith in Moses' life. And each one of them, he does something by faith, and each one of them presents a different crisis. But what we read in verse 23, it's not talking about Moses' faith, but it's talking about the parents of Moses and their faith. This particular time period we're talking about was a very difficult time in history. There was a king that rose up in Exodus chapter 1. Who knew not Joseph. Therefore, the children of Israel and Joseph's family, as they multiplied, they had no favor from this king that came to power. Therefore, he made them, the Israelites, slaves. And the more harder the work he gave them to do, the more he multiplied the work, the more they multiplied as far as children. The harder they worked, the more kids they had. Now, that's not how kids come into the world. But I want you to notice Israel multiplied greatly. So much so that this new king, he was threatened by the senses, I guess you could take, of the Israelites. They're starting to outnumber the Egyptians. They're growing greater than we are. So you remember the story in chapter 1 of Exodus, how the king commanded the midwives to kill the babies if they were born a male. They kept multiplying. The king called the midwives into his presence, and he found out they were not killing the babies. They were not aborting the babies. Therefore, he commanded all his people. Now that would include all that live in the land of Egypt, whether you're Israelite or whether you're Egyptian, he commands them all to kill the child if it's a male. Take him into the Nile River and make them crocodile baits, basically what he's saying. Feed them to the crocodiles. You can imagine living in a world where it would be mandated to kill a male child. China had that law, you remember? It would not be much for somebody to be a friend of China, that's the President of the United States, to mandate something so similar. we're talking reality this morning. Here in Egypt, you can imagine the heart cry of many women, many families. There was a couple that married from the tribe of Levi. The man's name was Amram. He married a woman by the name of Jochebed. They had two children. One was named Aaron. The other one was Miriam. And then the Word of God tells us there was another child born at the time of this command, whose name was Moses. As he was born, I want you to notice what the Word of God says. In verse 23, we'll start with in chapter 11. They saw he was a proper child. The word proper in the Greek means austere. Comes from a similar Greek word. It means being beautiful. There's something exceptional about this baby. Now, anybody who's had children, when your child was born, that was the most beautifulest baby in all the world, wasn't it? Every child that's born is just, look at that baby. They are so cute. But here the Word of God talks about Moses when he was born, how he was a beautiful child. He was very attractive, a little bit different than most babies, even more so attractive. The Hebrew word is tov, very interesting, meaning goodsome or winsome. There's something about this baby that was born to Amram and Jochebed that was just wow. Now you remember how we've been looking at Abraham previously, in the previous couple Sundays ago, about Isaac when he was born. And they were very old, up in years, 99 and 90 years old, and they had this child. You can imagine Isaac was a very beautiful baby too, because this was a promised child. This was a child when they're very way up in years. That baby was very precious. Look back in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, notice what the Word of God says in verse 20. It puts in a little bit different language. It says, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. Moses was exceeding fair. He wasn't just pretty okay to look upon. He was exceedingly beautiful. The Hebrew puts it in a different way over in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2. The word of God says, the woman conceived, bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. There was something remarkable about Moses when he was born. He was a very attractive child. We do believe all babies are beautiful. Children are an heritage. The fruit of the womb is a reward of the Lord. Therefore, every child is very precious. How many of us, just from example of sitting in church, when you have a baby in front of you, and that baby has a little discomfort and smiles at you. You know how the babies turn around backwards and they're looking at you. What do you normally do? I'll go ahead and admit it. You make faces and coo at them, and you're not even listening to the preacher. You don't even know a sermon's going on because that baby is so cute. And you know what? There's a little connection there. I must say I'm very thankful for Sister Victoria and what she's doing in the nursery. Sounds like all the war whoops calmed down. There is peace in the nursery for us. She enjoys working with those little ones, and I'm thankful for that. You need to invest in children. They invested in Moses' life. I want to take this verse of Scripture and present you with some present-day realities. The President of the United States, his name is Donald Trump. Some of the media do not realize that at this point. They've already put another president in place. They say he was illegitimate from day before one even started. They have fought against him, and I'm not here to preach a political message, but I am here to present biblical principles. They have accused him of being Hitler. Let me tell you, those that are accusing President Trump of being like Hitler are doing the same thing that you find back in the Garden of Eden. They're blame shifting. If there is anyone in our day and time that looks like Hitler as far as his principles and his procedures that carried out in death camps, it's those who run abortion clinics. Let me tell you, our governor says he's trying to save lives while he is leaving abortion clinics open. Tell me that is not running opposite of each other. Abortion resembles death camps. Many are being killed. Our governor has shut down restaurants. Some of you have already seen some restaurants shut down just because of the latest mandate, which is putting people out of work. Many people that don't have much money, and they're going to be even more needy. There is the killing of incomes, there's the killing of businesses, and the shutdowns. Through all this shutdown, they leave abortion clinics open. The leading cause of death this year, in the coronavirus year, is abortion. There have been 37 million abortions worldwide this year. If you have an opportunity, I challenge you to Google a child in its mother's womb. You will see a child that is not born yet. You can see fingers and toes and heartbeat. You can see little eyes. You can often see them sucking their thumb. In the United States of America, there are 3,000 abortions a day. And we wonder why there's a virus. Governor Bevin, our former governor, almost eradicated it in the state, and they voted him out. And the main reason I believe he was voted out, he often would speak out when he shouldn't have spoke out, but he got a lot of teachers upset because of money. And I believe money spoke louder than abortion in some people's lives. Yesterday, President Trump guaranteed a critical executive order that he was going to sign demanding protection and care for babies born alive after botched abortions. For some reason, this did not pass through Congress, so he signed it as an executive order. That's a shame. That even has to be signed. Jochebed and Amram hid Moses. You can imagine having a child in Egypt, and you've been commanded to kill the child if it's a boy. For 3 months, they're hiding this baby. They defied the king's orders, the mandate. It was an executive order. They feared God more than the king. You can imagine for 3 months trying to keep a baby from crying. Brother Jake, is that difficult? Woo! Can you imagine for 3 months? If anybody heard this baby cry, what it meant a threat to the life of that baby as well as a threat to the whole family. In other words, the king could have the whole family executed. But I want you to notice the faith of Jochebed and Amram, that they defied the king's mandate. They hid the child for 3 months. And you know how the story goes with Moses. How they built what is called in the Hebrew language an ark. It's a basket. But it's literally the same as Noah's ark. A little ark was built for baby Moses at 3 months old. They, the parents, put Moses in this little basket in the Nile River. Now, where are the alligators at? They're in the Nile River. Can you see the faith of these parents? They entrust this child ultimately to God. As they put the basket in the bulrushes, the basket goes drifting down the river, caught up in the bulrushes, and there is Pharaoh's daughter taking a bath. Moses' oldest sister, she's following this basket. And as she follows it, she sees Pharaoh's daughter. And she sees her open the basket, and no doubt this is a Hebrew boy. But remember that Moses had a beauty about him, an attractiveness about him that was exceptional. And Pharaoh's daughter was captured by a little baby that's in the bulrushes. In Exodus chapter 2 and verse 7, Miriam, it talks about her. It says, "Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother." Look at the providence of God. God is sparing this child. Is God able? He's more than able. He's putting this child in Pharaoh's daughter's care, who in turn puts the child in his own mother's care and basically pays for the upbringing of the child until he is weaned. You see how God provides, and all this is because, ultimately because God is sovereign, but he's working through the faith of these parents. They had great faith. They were defying a king's order. You might ask, and some skeptics would probably ask, if they had so much faith, how come they hid him? How come they were secretive about it? Let me tell you why. Very simple answer. God gave him common sense. He gave him faith, but he gave him some common sense. Let me give you an illustration. I'm going to embarrass somebody. Brother Josh was called over to the Middle East. He went, but he knew God had called him to preach. He shared this story with us a few times. Therefore, when he went, he didn't walk around with his head stuck up like, you can't hit me. God gave him some common sense. I'm thankful for that, brother. Brother TJ, you might question that common sense, don't you? But God gave him common sense. There was faith that God had called him, and God did spare his life. We're thankful for that. He was injured, but he was spared. That was the grace of God. And Brother Josh pastored just like God had called him to. Can you think of the risk of somebody hearing your baby cry? Sometimes when you're visiting church, and Brother Jake, I'm going to give you this so you can know for later reference. If a baby squalls in church, a baby is doing just what a baby does. And we understand that here. And we'd rather hear a baby cry in church than a baby we can't hear crying at home. In other words, raise up a child in the way it should grow. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You need to invest in your children. We are living in a country where freedoms seem to be eroding. There is the possibility next year we might not. We might have a different president. If so, he is pretty self-proclaimed an abortionist. He will mandate abortion, is what he said. Even now, before that time, our faith is being tested. I've been saying this for the past 7 months. The things that we go through in life, they're a test. God is trying your faith. I pray that we could say like Job, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Some people in our time are faltering, they're failing. They're falling by the wayside. I'm telling you, it may get worse. Will you stand? Will you stand for truth? Can you imagine living in China where they, and I'm not sure if they still do this, they did at one time for a long time, said you could only have one male in your family, one child, one male child. If you have more, you got to go throw them in the river. Can you imagine living in a country like that? To obey God means you got to risk the consequences. And there are consequences sometimes when you obey God. I want you to notice this parent's faith in verse 23. It resulted in blessings. Because Amram and Jochebed were godly parents and they rather obey God than man, because of that stand, Moses lived, and how many people's lives were blessed by Moses? You know what? Only eternity is going to tell. Who wrote a portion of the Word of God, who led the people of God, who was highly revered of God's people. Moses has had and still does a powerful influence. Parents, let me tell you, God often uses your faith in the life of your children, raising up leaders in the next generation. You never know how God's going to use your child. I pray our children will be beautiful, even as Moses, to the Lord our God. Let me exhort you and encourage you to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. There are people that put worldly ways above the Lord's ways. If you want your child to excel, you've got to make Christ preeminent in your life. Your children need to see Christ in you. When crisis comes, what do you do? Do you live and walk by faith? We need to pray for our children's salvation. We need to pray that they come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to protect them the best we can from evil influence in our world. We need to entrust them to God's care. When I say entrust them to God's care, that means you believe God knows what's best for their life better than you. That may be difficult in times. Some of you have lost children from this life. You know better by experience than I do of what it means to entrust your child wholeheartedly to the Lord, and that He knows what's best. In the life of Amram and Jochebed, I want you to see this example of their faith, that their faith was greater than their fear. As we are in the time frame we're living in right now, may your faith be greater than your fear. If your fear is greater than your faith, you're going to hunker down and hide. May you take a godly stand. We cannot imagine the land of Egypt as they were killing off all these babies. The incident happened once again in time in Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2 and down in verse 16, King Herod was angry. And when he saw that he was mocked, in verse 16, by the wise men, he was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Can you imagine the land? As these soldiers go throughout Bethlehem and all around, barging opening doors, putting to death little 2-year-olds and under. No doubt suffocating some. No doubt sticking some with the sword. Killing innocent lives. So much so that there was crying all over the land. We look at Moses' time, and Moses was delivered from the king's mandate. God had preserved him. What we see in Matthew chapter 2, that Jesus Christ was delivered from the king's mandate. Jesus Christ survived to save His people from their sin. There are many innocent children being murdered in our day and time. And ultimately what is driving that is money. People's greed, convenience, power. I don't even believe I could scratch surface if I started trying to expose the evil in government. But let me tell you, we live in a wicked world. When the safest place a child should be is in its mother's womb, becomes one of the most dangerous places a child could be. I am thankful for God's providence, of how He spared the life of Moses, of how He guided the life of the Christ child, how He grew in wisdom and stature with men. And as He came to the end of His life, Christ gave His life for our sins. Here is the good news. There are people who may have experienced an abortion. You know what? That's murder. But this I say upon the authority of God's word. There is forgiveness in Christ. If there's someone contemplating abortion, let me encourage you, don't do it. I understand we're on Facebook. Somebody might hear this. I dare say we as God's people here would take care of the child if there's somebody trying to kill a child. If I went around this room and asked how many of y'all would take care of a child that's about to be put to death, that's going to take time, effort, money. It's going to take your life. Would you be willing? Are we so against abortion that we're willing to take a stand and work in another person's life? That's commitment. That's walking the walk and not just the talk. There are people that accuse us as Christians. You're against abortion, but you sure don't stand much for adoption. Let me tell you, if a life is in danger, bring the child to me. And may you say the same. May we as God's people stand in the breach. May we speak for the voices that cannot speak, that are being silenced by murderers' hands. May God have mercy upon us as the United States of America. We have created and committed great sins in the sight of Almighty God. I pray, if you do not know Him as your Lord and Savior, that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. He borns us again unto new life, turning from the old way of life and by faith trusting in the crucified one, that He suffered, bled, and died for our sinfulness. He was buried, but the grave could not hold Him. He rose again to proclaim us justified in the sight of God. Do you know that cleansing power of Christ? Have you trusted Him as your Lord and Savior? We're going to give a hymn of invitation. And we're going to sing, "There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Do you know Him as Lord and Savior?" Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, by faith, when Moses was born, He was hid for 3 months, defying the government, the king, in honor to do Your will. Lord, we're getting mandates. We're getting people in power that would like to take our monies for abortion. Lord, we ask that You would put a stop to this hideous practice. We pray that You'd help us to see the sinfulness of sin and how we've offended a holy and righteous God and how we deserve Your wrath. Lord, we ask that You'd help us to stand in the breach when innocent ones are dying. Help us to be the voice, as it were, in the wilderness, crying out against sinfulness and ungodliness in our land. Lord, we ask that by Your Spirit, You would take Your word and apply it to our hearts and lives, changing us into who You'd have us to be. Teach us more to lean upon you and to walk by faith and not by sight. We'll give you the glory for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us sing. There is a Redeemer.